Blog Talk Radio.
Shoot it.
will be manufactured in the United States, and then each test will also, each test, someone on the screen, my eyes were aware, was I looking at the game changer, says John Haddock, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, who has written extensively on marijuana legalization. I've been saying for years, it's only a matter of time before someone developed the technology and got the science right. Hudzik said, that time apparently is now. They're going to make a hell of a lot of money selling it to law enforcement agencies across the U.S. and Canada. Goodwin said, about 50 million drug tests are conducted each year. He believes the market for THC breathalyzer may be worth well above $10 billion annually. About 30 states have legalized cannabis medically or recreationally, with Massachusetts in the latter group. Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Rhode Island are among the dozens with medical marijuana programs. Traditionally, law enforcement agencies have been resistant to legalization. Wiesner, the head of the New Jersey Police Chiefs Group, said prosecuting marijuana DUIs is costly and time-consuming. Marijuana DUI cases hinge on blood test results, traces of THC metabolites, the drug byproducts can remain in the body for up to a month. Proving impairment is notoriously difficult. There is no legal threshold of what constitutes intoxication. Often, cases get thrown out of court. Officers who are qualified drug recognition experts and trained to spot stone drivers and spend 2 days in court on a single case. That's expensive, the chief said. John Adam, Burke County's district attorney, serves on Pennsylvania's statewide medical marijuana advisory board. DUI under marijuana is a huge problem. It's one of the reasons we've been against legalization, Adam said. I've heard about the breathalyzers. If the technology is out there, it would be a great tool. It would alleviate some of our fears. Police have depended on the skunky strains of marijuana to provide probable cause to search the car or conduct a field sobriety test on the driver. But a recent court ruling in Pennsylvania maintained that the smell alone is a sufficient reason to initiate an arrest. And then there's this. Cannabis consumers in many states are slowly moving towards edibles, from pop brownies to infused beverages and rosins. And at least until the recent scare. So both the Hound and the Snag Tech appear to be arriving at the perfect moment. The Hound breathalyzer, which is about a billion times more sensitive than a standard alcohol breath test, can detect incredibly low concentrations of THC that are transported through the blood. Somewhere on the page, it said he envisioned the device nearly 8 years ago when a car drove past him, trailing a cloud of weed smoke. But the technology did not exist to create a portable device. I didn't realize how hard it was going to be. In 8 months, Lynn's team was able to detect THC in the breath of smokers. It took 5 more years. to consistently and accurately measure levels with machines that are across the reach of most police departments and employers. We could measure small amounts quickly, but it took considerably longer to do the science and complete the clinical studies than said. The nation's police department as his first customers, but he believes businesses will adopt the hound. Employers have the same fundamental problems as law enforcement agencies. They need to maintain a safe workplace, but do not have to worry about what their employees do in their free time. Some of them go home, smoke pot, just like I'd enjoy a glass of wine, and not test positive the next day. Employers are facing a workforce now that has close to full employment. They don't want to be firing valuable workers, especially for something that's legal in most states. Okay. So what's happening in California? We're inventing breathalyzers to test you. Now, 1 billion illegal marijuana seized in California from K-Ron 4, Kamikaze News, Action 12, 13, 14, and 200,004. Written by the Associated Press. Authorities say the seized illegal marijuana with the street by 1 billion after stopping a van on a Southern California street because a passenger wasn't wearing a seatbelt. The California Highway Patrol says an officer smelled an odor of pot after stopping the van on Monday in Anza, an unincorporated county in Riverside County. The Riverside Press Enterprise says the van was full of trash bags and moving boxes that the driver acknowledged contained marijuana. CHP said it found 335 pounds, that's 152 kilos, of pot. Marijuana use is legal in California, but some cultivation and transportation of the plant remains illegal. Okay, next on the roll of the dice. This is from MarijuanaMovement.net. Malaysia will soon decriminalize drug possession, top government official says. By Kyle Yeager. A top Malaysian official said on Thursday that the government will soon be implementing a policy to decriminalize low-level possession of illicit drugs. Health Minister Zulfli Ahmad argued that such a policy change would help the country combat addiction by treating drug abuse as a public health issue. Malaysia is about to embark on a significant game-changer policy of decriminalization of drug addicts and addiction. The health official emphasized that the government wouldn't be pursuing broad legalization, and that decriminalization is an important journey that we are about to undertake, and we must tread on it with care and tact. Those declined to offer details about the policy and the timeline for implementation. The proposed move would represent a paradigm shift in Malaysian drug laws. The country has imposed the death penalty in numerous drug trafficking cases, and possession of large amounts of illicit substances is also subject to maximum punishment. According to the Washington Post, more than 200 people are on death row in Malaysia. The majority of them are drug thief offenses. Trafficking and sale would be really illegal under the existing plan, and the officials specified that only the possession of small amounts of drugs would be covered. The arrest is considered a significant step for Malaysia, especially considering its history of enforcement first drug penalties. It's a step towards achieving a rational drug policy that puts science and health, not punishment and incarceration. Duplo said in a statement, an addict should be treated as a patient and not as a criminal whose addiction is a disease we would like to cure. Well, it might come as a surprise that Malaysia would move toward a decriminalization model. It's not alone in its consideration of bold reform to address drug addiction. A key Canadian health committee recommended that the government take a similar approach in the report released earlier this year. This month, a long-standing decriminalization advocate in the House of Commons recently introduced a bill to achieve that goal. One thing here is a backwards video. Okay. Listen to Smoke News Radio. Jason Brazzi, I am your voice, your automated voice. Speaks it. And if you just need to put the text in and my voice comes out, then whatever way that comes out, whatever accent situations. Would you like to go after our speak? Jason. This next one from my last fiance, News Action 495136. Published in October, Medical Marijuana Advocacy Group launches survey for Malaysians. The Malaysian Society of Awareness has called on the Malaysian government to consider legalizing the use of cannabis for medical purposes and health supplements, as is practiced in several countries. Developing countries like Australia, Uruguay, Turkey, Thailand, India, and others agree that cannabis plants are safer after scientific research. However, the Malaysian government still does not recognize its benefits, even though other countries have changed their laws, said Masa in a statement today. As such, Masa has launched a 2019 national survey for cannabis in Malaysia. According to Masa, details and answers will be confidential and will be presented to the government for statistical review. The online survey is made available on October 7th. According to Masa, the survey aims to gather the view of 100,000 Malaysians, and results of the survey will be submitted to the Health Ministry, the MOH. In April, former Masa President Intan Mustika Putri Mukhtar, better known as Yuki Sentsu, lamented the fact that it has been nearly impossible for individuals or groups to conduct cannabis-related research in the country, as the plant is still defined as a narcotic under the Dangerous Drugs Act 1952, the DDA. Yuki passed away on July 4th. Masa claims that the government has rejected foreign studies on medical use of marijuana and requested a local evidence to support legalization. On March 27th, Health Minister Zulfy Ahmad told Dewi Rizka that there is no space for the ministry to get consent for the clinical research into the use of marijuana for medical purposes. The Malaysian Ministry has considered medical marijuana being given space for clinical research, not in terms of planting and cultivation, but in the purposes of treatment, medication, and health. On June 27th, he also said that the government plans to work towards removing criminal penalties from personal possession and use of drugs, while emphasizing that decriminalization of drug addicts and addiction was not to be mistaken for legalizing drugs. Decriminalization is the removal of criminal penalties for possession and using of small quantities of drugs for personal use, as opposed to those who are involved in the trafficking of drugs. Trafficking of drugs will undoubtedly remain a crime. However, there has yet to be any more to legislate either of these policy announcements. Los Angeles Times Business California's pot tax came in way below projections and not by October 2019, Michael Yosicki, business columnist. As if to reinforce the idea that money is the most potent drug known to humankind, legislation in California and 10 other states have legalized marijuana, often with visions of a tax windfall dancing in their head. The fiscal gain has not been the only rationale for legalization in some cases, when even the prime motivation, but it was never far beneath the surface. In California, the proponents of legalization who won their battle with the passage of Proposition 64 in 2019 predicted a tax windfall of $1 billion a year. The actual figure of fiscal year ended in June to $8 billion. The forecast to the fiscal year is $359 billion. When or whether the tax will reach $1 billion is anyone's guess. When you drill down, the only hard fact is they seize a lot of plants. California isn't the only state where expectations for turning marijuana into cash cow have disappointed promoters. In Massachusetts, still the only eastern state with legalization on the books, the state's Cannabis Control Commission projected a take of $63 million. The final tally for the fiscal year was only about $30 million. The goal for the current year is $132 million, which would mean quadrupling of income. Even states that met or exceeded their expectations, such as Colorado and Nevada, the rate of growth has been slowing. According to a recent survey by the Pew Charitable Trust, marijuana tax collections in Colorado soared by 53% from 2015 to 2016, but only 18% from 2017 to 2018. Washington and Oregon also have seen a slackening in growth. Experts have come up with numerous explanations for these disappointing results. They say the tax structures are overly complicated. The marijuana black market is still thriving. Licensing of legal dispensaries is too slow. Marijuana valuations in California are hallucinations. But there's another explanation they're avoiding. It's one I highlighted back in 2009 when legalization drive in California was gaining steam. From the start, projections of the size and value of the marijuana market itself, and therefore of the potential tax take, were based on fantasy. As I wrote at the time, valuations of illicit activity, whether it's drug sales, street crime, or farm distribution, are notoriously squishy, yet hard figures are accepted by the media as gospel, even though their sources are typically law enforcement agencies claiming to have achieved record-breaking drug busts, or experts trying to pump up the importance of their chosen field of study. In California, the inflation took the form of a dubious assertion that marijuana was the state's most valuable cash crop. The assertion was duly reported in newspapers across the country, including this one was cited in CNN and NBC. The ostensibly hard valuation of the state's marijuana crop was $14 billion. Part of the nationwide marijuana trade worth more than $100 billion a year. Cannabis tax revenues. Yet this statistic was manifestly the product of a galaxy of magic asterisks. Its principal source was a 2006 study by John Getman, former president and national director of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, NORML. NORML. I reached out to Getman via Shenandoah University in Virginia, where he's on the criminal justice faculty, but we haven't heard back. Getman started with an estimate that U.S. domestic marijuana should say marijuana should not be sold at every grocery outlet store. Gavin acknowledged that concrete information was exceedingly scarce. When he told down, the only hard fact is he sees a lot of plants. Yet one would have known how soft the hard fact is when we went to the debate that they were on in the State House across the country, where the taxable value of marijuana trade was taken as read. It's true that there are sound policy reasons to legalize marijuana. Prohibition places a burden on all levels of government, including tens of billions of dollars a year squandered on arresting, trying, and jailing sellers and abusers. Marijuana laws were unevenly enforced against black youth and low-income defendants. The chances that a risk white college student caught dealing in a dorm bank would spend a night in jail, which would end up with a felony or misdemeanor count on his record, were effectively nil when compared with the experience of a street corner seller. There are also sound arguments against legalization. These include the toll of drug abuse. Not to say the abuse of alcohol or tobacco is a significant social medical problem. Legalization could put more money in the pockets of alcohol and tobacco companies, assuming they move into the cannabis market for lobbying and political activity. In California, where $1 billion in annual revenue became a principal talking point for the Yes on 64 campaign, voters were inundated with promises of new funding for after-school programs that help kids stay in school, for job placement, job training, mental health treatment, for drug prevention education for teens, for treating alcohol and drug addiction, and to fund training and research for law enforcement to crack down on impaired driving. Those promises came from the official voter guide for the 2016 election. Over 10 years, they were told, these programs will receive billions in revenues. At the moment, these promises look like chimeras, but no one conversation with the history of ballot proposition campaigns or the uncertainties of government fiscal projections has a right to be surprised. Though in the uncertainties of estimating the value of illicit, irregular activities, and the red flag should have been flying, it's possible, of course, that cannabis taxes will eventually fulfill the expectations set by their promoters, especially if some of those other obstacles, such as burdensome licensing of pot shops and the persistence of the black market, can be addressed. But $1 billion a year? Don't start spending the money yet. Okay, here we go. Give me a moment. Get relaxed. I'm not putting things in my bed, but I'm checks. Take my money, not funny. And my liver. Can I smoke a bird? Am I in the right country? Am I the place where there's decriminalization? The medical nation? What's your fascination? The criminal health nation of the health nation nations.
Nation,
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 nation, nation, yes, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, that's a good idea. I do thank you for your time at this moment. Even though sometimes some things don't make sense, but all of a sudden they make perfect sense, and they come to you during taking everyone else's time. So I appreciate you very much for listening to Smoke News Radio. I got the website smokerings.news. You know, put like other news shows on, like if you're really into marijuana, like news network stuff. It's still hot. Because I can only barely do an hour every other day right now. You're just an amount of sanity needed when you're like talking about marijuana, politics worldwide, because it's insanity. It's marijuana politics and all. Oh my God, it's just an insanity. Okay, oh wait. One more. And so, if you don't think this show is insane, then imagine if I tried to do this in the 1920s and then I talked about marijuana. What's the what? Whatever, who cares? That's absinthe. It's all good. I was on my absent. Who cares? Don't go to war. You know, how about talking about 1984? What's happening? Crack down. They're knocking at my door if I'm talking about this back then. Knocking at your door.
New York is the other that requires licensed weed shops to
make a deal with a formal labor union in which managers promise not to stop workers from joining their union. And in exchange, organizers will encourage labor strikes against the company. Labor unions have been pushing for these agreements in recent years as more and more states decriminalize marijuana. They say they want to make sure the 6 billion industry won't exploit workers who are often paid below the minimum wage or given marijuana instead of wages. They also see it as a pathway for workers to form a labor union and boost membership. When unionized, cannabis workers have ended up negotiating annual raises, health insurance subsidies, and higher than average wages. According to the United Food Commercial Workers International Union, which has been organizing cannabis workers across the country since 2011. California has required cannabis shops to sign labor peace deals ever since 2018, after voters approved a bill measure that legalized recreational marijuana sales. There is just one problem. The law didn't include a way to enforce the deals because it didn't give businesses a deadline to make them. The new law signed Friday gives businesses 60 days to do so. If they don't, workers can file a complaint with state labor regulators. This will provide employees with clarity on when an employer is failing to comply with laws and a complaint needs to be filed. Said Reggie John Sawyer, the California Assembly member who sponsored the bill, according to the industry news site Cannabis Wire. While the new law represents a small tweak to the current law, it will help unions make inroads in one of the fastest growing industries. It also represents an unusual approach to labor organizing. The emerging legal marijuana industry is relying on a rare labor strategy once used to organize shipyard workers and casino employees. They're known as labor peace deals, or LPAs. Each deal varies from workplace to workplace, depending on what both sides negotiate, but they tend to have some things in common. First, common managers agree not to dissuade workers from unionizing, and they often agree to give employees contact information to labor organizers. They also give unions access to the workplace to meet with employers as long as organizers don't disrupt work. In exchange for access, labor organizers agree not to vilify the company or say negative things about the employer to its workforce. The unions also agree not to encourage workers to go on strike or picket. As the term suggests, these deals are meant to keep the peace during what can often become a tense unionization process. But the setup only works when employers are trying to stop workers from organizing altogether. For the legal marijuana industry, these deals are sometimes mandated by state law. Aside from California, New York requires its medical marijuana dispensaries to sign labor peace deals. In Illinois, which recently legalized recreational marijuana, the state will consider whether a business has signed such a deal when determining which shops can get a license. Labor unions such as the United Food and Commercial
cannabis industry. As the marijuana industry grows, so does your demand. 10 states have fully legalized marijuana sales in recent years for both medical and recreational consumption. About another dozen states allow sales for medical use, and more states pass laws allowing businesses to set up shop. The demand for workers will continue to rise. It's hard to determine how many people work in the cannabis industry because selling marijuana is still illegal under federal law. U.S. Department of Labor doesn't track job growth in the industry, but New Frontier Data, a cannabis market research and data analyst firm, estimates that the legal industry employed at least 250,000 people who work directly with plants. That includes people working in dispensaries, coffee shops, bakeries, patient identification centers, hydroponic stores, and growing facilities. And the growth of marijuana dispensaries is a trend that labor unions are paying attention to. The United Food and Commercial Workers International Union, better known for organizing supermarket employees, is the most powerful cannabis union in the country, representing more than 10,000 workers in 13 states, according to Rolling Stone magazine. It has negotiated contracts with major operators like MedMen, helping legitimize amusement for cautious politicians, and hammered out pro-worker provisions in multiple state legislatures, like John Marcus for Rolling Stones, those cautious politicians. In fact, it was UFCW that forced the federal government to enforce labor rights for cannabis workers. In 2013, workers at the medical marijuana company, known as the Fiction of Wade, walked off the job that winter, protesting the company's use of a pesticide. The company repeatedly retaliated against workers for trying to unify with the UFCW. Disciplined several workers who participated in the walkout, according to the National Labor Relations Board, which enforces federal collective bargaining laws. In 2013, the company settled the case. Doing so, NLRB acknowledged that cannabis workers were protected under the National Labor Relations Act, the 1935 law that gave workers the right to unionize. Only by sticking together, we are able to find the strength to speak out about the gross violations that we saw at work. In a statement after the settlement was reached, by fighting for the union, we are protecting our customers and shaping the medical marijuana industry into a safe and well-regulated industry that provides good jobs and needed medicine for our community. Cannabis companies like unions more than most employers
You listen to Smoke News Radio. Your host, Jason Brodsky, if a federal regulatory agency forbids cannabis use. I decided to stop because I didn't know where my career was going. I told the star why you put marijuana in the food. It's in Malaysia. That's marijuana. In Malaysia. You know. And then the government, another article, the government will not obstruct any attempts to conduct clinical research into the efficacy of medical marijuana. So that's cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I like that. So medical marijuana clinical studies by Malaysian authorities, not from other countries, but Malaysian authorities. And then medical cannabis, death sentence from Malaysian state martial laws about a young man with some cannabis oil to the hill. And then two kids, 30.7, plead not guilty to growing my. Malaysia to decriminalize drug use. We got that one. Malaysia talks about becoming. Oh, last year, Malaysia talks about becoming the first in Asia to allow medical marijuana. Last week. Fishermen arrested trying to ship 260 kilos of marijuana down to Malaysia. And pushed to unionize. We got the union down. Medical marijuana allowed in kindergarten, K-12 schools. What should be an article is fines of some marijuana in the store have increased. Something about a Giuliani case, federal probe Donald Trump, and marijuana licenses in California was the same dude had. Battle against the lucrative business of illegal marijuana dispensaries. California. I mean, it was just a whole bunch of like stuff going on about marijuana. And if people take some time to research, you can really like check it out. Or you can play the show. You get like a quick little hour. This is fun right here. Okay, we'll take it away, Jack Johnson. Thank you. Jason Brodsky on Smoke Radio, Smoke News Radio on the SmokeRings.network.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's side. Well, Mama said, it's just make believe. You can't believe everything you see. So, baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight. Who's the one to decide that it would be alright? Put the music behind the news tonight. Well, Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unfair.